Chinky Pin Grove. I remember the bayou, going up it to the old swinging bridge. I remember how many times I went miles up that bayou to Sandtown by myself. I remember all the happy times I had growing up. Every time I go down Ramsey Mountain, which is a hill that leads down into Batesville, I get a lump in my throat. It's called nostalgia, I guess. And every time I go to the house that I was raised in and spent a large part of my life over in West Batesville, I get another lump in my throat. Those were pleasant times. And I look back on them, particularly in the holiday seasons of the year, with a great deal of thanksgiving that I had a good childhood. And these were very pleasant surroundings to me. You know, I think one of the problems that we have when the Bible says set your affection on things above is that we don't ever really try to visualize or think of the things that are future. Those things that happened to me as a young man growing up were very real. And the memory I have of them is quite vivid. Makes me feel good inside when I think back of them. And I'm thinking of some of the times now and how wonderful they were. But I guess in the last 15 years, I've spent an awful lot of time studying the Bible, trying to get a picture in my own mind about a place I've never seen. And the wonderful place, the thing about this is that, well, a man wrote a book one time called You Can't Go Home. And when you get my age, the age of many of you, you can't go back. Our parents are gone. Our friends are gone. The old home place is in despair and ruin. And all those places have vanished and are merely in our minds and our memories and our hearts. But heaven is quite different from that. And I think a lot about it. And I'm going to be up there and I'm going to have a new place to live in. At first it's going to be this earth. I'm going to get to see all those people that went on before me, Doc and Clemmy and Tud, and brother and sister George, old Sadie Sims used to sit over there, and Marlena Thomas, his mother. I'm going to get to see all those people that, and Bill Baker. Bill, I got your name right. I always called him Bill Bailey because of that old song. That's not imaginary. That's real. And the wonderful thing about that is that I won't ever have to look back on it. I'm looking forward to it. And once I'm there, I'm going to be there forever and ever and ever. So it's easy for me to do what I do. It's easy for me to go and preach revivals, not physically. It's easy for me to pastor this church. It's easy for me to do the work that God called me to do because I have an objective. I'm going to be there forever. So I can't overemphasize the importance of serving God and His local church while you're here. And since a lot of these places in my memory of the past mean so much to me, but not near as much as what's before me, I'm going to talk a little bit about the household of God, about heaven, about the kingdom of God, and some things that have to do with it. On Sunday nights, I've been talking a great deal about heaven, about the millennial reign, which is the first phase of the heaven age into which we go. I've been talking about the importance of knowing where we live. I don't have any tears in my heart for Doc Marshall or for Clemmy Dornbrook for Brother and Sister George, and for those who were faithful in this church. I have nothing but thanksgiving and praise in my heart for them, and know that they are in heaven. They don't have to have somebody like me put a message on a screen and preach it anymore. God knows they enjoyed it. All four of them told me that many times. Now, they're there. And it's all over for them as far as the carnality of their flesh. Their souls are there. They're filled with love. They're filled with joy. They're filled with happiness. They're looking forward to a future. They're looking forward to coming back and be on this earth with Jesus. And they're looking forward to seeing me. They're looking forward to seeing you. This household of God is an interesting thing, and I'm going to talk about it. The household of God includes several different groups of categories that I'm going to talk about. I've talked about them before, and this is a little different from what I've been doing on Sunday nights. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. God has opened the gospel, the truth, to both Jew and Gentile. But fellow citizens with the saints of all the ages and of the household of God. I think one of the things that I probably enjoyed learning after I was saved more than anything else was about God's kingdom and about heaven. And what heaven was, and what his kingdom was, and what his dominion was, I can tell you all about baseball. I doubt if this old body could make it up the creek anymore, the bayou. I can picture every single bit of it going all the way up 10 miles to Sandtown. I can picture Chinkapin Grove. I can picture the old house. I can picture all the things of my youth. Well, why can't I picture the things in heaven? I can. Because God describes them. And they are more real to me than all the things that I observed as a boy and all the good times I had hunting and fishing. Daniel 7:14-15. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, has received a kingdom. Where is it? It's in heaven. Is heaven the kingdom? When we get saved, do we all go into the kingdom? When we get saved, we go to heaven. But the heaven is in the kingdom. There's something else in heaven. It's called a dominion, a domain. And there was given him dominion. Make sure that he separates them. There was given him dominion. You know where that dominion is? It's in heaven. And glory in a kingdom. You know where that glory is? It's in heaven. Do you know where that kingdom is? It's in heaven. There's a kingdom in heaven. There's dominion in heaven. That all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. In the millennial reign, it will be this whole present earth. In the final heaven age, it will be a new heaven and a new earth created by God, made of a substance that you and I are not familiar with, but a substance which the glorified body is made of, as well as the natures of the angels of God. And this dominion which shall not pass away, that dominion is in heaven. But this is also in heaven. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Now I'm going to heaven. That's been settled by the blood of Christ. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob went to heaven. Enoch went to heaven. Noah went to heaven. Cousin George, Sister George went to heaven. Clemmy went to heaven. Doc went to heaven. during their lifetime, by their lives, and God's judgment and assessment of it, it's going to determine where they live in heaven. And in heaven there is a dominion and there is a kingdom. Heaven is where the household of God lives. You say, where's Doc? He's in heaven. Where's Abraham? He's in heaven. Where's Moses? He's in heaven. Where's Tud? He's in heaven. That's where the household of God lives. Where's Enoch? He's in heaven. Heaven is where the household of God lives. It's the place which includes, it includes God's dominion and his kingdom. All kingdoms have a dominion, but the kingdom itself is where the king dwells and where the king positions himself. The household of God, it will all live in heaven, all of it, in the millennial reign and in the heaven age. But heaven includes God's dominion and it includes God's kingdom. The kingdom is where the king of heaven positions himself in his dominion in its kingdom city. The kingdom city is in heaven, so is its dominion. But the dominion is outside the kingdom city. Heaven's a wonderful place. It'll be on this earth in the millennial reign. It'll be on a new earth and a new heaven in the final heaven age. I study about this a lot because I like to look forward and visualize what it's going to be like with Jesus living in his kingdom city, positioning himself there, and all of his vast domain in his kingdom, but his dominion is outside of his kingdom. In the millennial reign, the kingdom is going to be that city over in central Israel. That's the kingdom city. In the final heaven age, the new city, the new Jerusalem, is going to be three-fifths the size of the United States, going to set down on earth. You all grew up somewhere. You all had parents. You all had a life you lived. Some of it was very pleasant. Some of it might have been unpleasant. But it's real to you because you lived it. The graciousness of God has given you ahead of time the place where you're going to live eternally. That's why you ought to be faithful in God's church. That's why you ought to serve in it. That's why you ought to give to it. That's why you ought to make it the central focus of your life. For the sake of your children, for the sake of your grandchildren, for the sake of your parents, for the sake of everyone you associate with, so that by example, they can actually see that you believe all this. And if they respect you and they say you believe all this, it's going to have an influence on them, and God's Holy Spirit will use it. Now, I've pointed this out many times, and it's a very important thing to consider. This is Matthew 6:33. Now, these men had already been saved. He said this only to the first New Testament church. He said it only to the disciples. They were the only ones there. Now, they had already been saved. They had already been baptized by John. And they had already been following Jesus for some time. He said this to them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I remember all those things of my youth. I remember all the Christmas trees we had. I remember the joy and excitement of all the kids when they get up in the morning. I remember Christmas as a very special time for us. We taught our children that Jesus wasn't born on Christmas. And we taught our children the truth about it. But it was a holiday that they dearly loved. So did I. This life and the things of it have been very pleasant for me. Being your pastor here for 30 years has been very pleasant to me. And I remember all of it. From the time we sang in the baptistry and Bobby Lou Ellen broke up and the whole church started laughing. The time I dropped through the rock through the stage. Those were wonderful times, and I remember all those things. I remember all the people that have died that were part of this church. So these things were very important to me. But this kingdom, I'm going to heaven. Those disciples were going to heaven. They were members of the first New Testament church. But he told them to do something. He said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, a lot of people get saved. They wander through life. They never do anchor their life in the church. Church is something they run away from all their lives. They don't realize what they're doing. Either they don't realize it, or they aren't interested enough to try and figure it all out. There is a kingdom of God, and it's in heaven. And there is dominion of that kingdom in heaven. And you've got a choice. Do I want to live in the kingdom city where Jesus is? Or do I want to live outside in the dominion? And if your answer is, I don't care, and you're saved, you'll live outside in that dominion. And if you realize that this is true, but things here mean more to you than what lies in your future, you'll live outside in that dominion. But at least I've been honest, I've been straightforward, and I've tried to warn you about it. Now we're going to take a look at the household God. God called the nation Israel, called Moses to lead them. And he took them to a horrifying mountain that burned with fire. For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest. I've preached about this many times before. And he gave them the law. The more they tried to keep it, the more they did one of two things. Either gave up and lived like hell, or deceived themselves and made them think they could keep it and live up to God's standard of righteousness. Now, they had a pretty rough time because Messiah had not come. But we're not called to the law. We weren't at that great mountain of the Old Testament. We're in Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a figurative symbol that is applied to either the holy city that will be in Jerusalem, physical Jerusalem on this earth during the millennial reign, or it can be applied to the heavenly city, the final heavenly city, three-fifths the size of the United States, in the final heaven age that sets on a brand new earth that God makes. Here in this case, he's referring to the final heaven age city and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. I knew a lot of people in Faithful. Joneses lived close to us, the Foxes. I knew all of them had pretty little girls. And I went all over town. I knew everybody in town. That's past. Most of my friends that I ran around with are dead. Most of them died in their 50s and 60s. All the people older than me now, all the adults, they're all dead. Only the old empty houses remain. But it was a wonderful time. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But it's past forever. But this is future. To an innumerable company of angels. That's one group of people. They're the angels that chose to follow God rather than Satan. I'm going to be there with them. Can you imagine? I'm going to get to see Michael and Gabriel and all the angels. I'm going to get to see the ones that watched over me and protected me and were assigned by God. Protect me. I'm going to get to meet them. How long will it last? Forever. Is this place going to be more enjoyable than when I grew up in Batesville and Arkansas and that area? Am I going to have more fun here than I did when I grew up as a boy? Oh, I cannot even describe it. And it'll never be in the past. Everything will always be the present and the future. To the General Assembly. You know who the General Assembly is? We'll get to that in a minute. And Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. I strongly suspect that this General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a Lamb's Book of Life for those who were especially faithful to him. And there is a Book of Life for all those who received Christ as their Savior. But these two are mentioned specifically as written in heaven. And I suspect it's the Lamb's Book of Life, but that I'm not sure of. And the spirits of just men made perfect. Well, who are these just men made perfect? Since I'm going to be in heaven, I have a great curiosity about what I'm going to be seeing there, what I'm going to be doing there, where I'm going to live there, and all the people I'm going to see there. You go to see a football game, and you're really curious to watch the team and who's going to win and how they're going to perform. In heaven, I'll get to see all of these groups. I'll get to be in heaven, and I want to live in the kingdom. I'm seeking the kingdom of God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. But I'm seeking the kingdom of God. Something that you have an interest in and that you love very much, you'll see. I was fascinated with Imogene. I loved her. And I sought her favor and I sought her hand. And I wanted to be with her forever. And I sought her, because it was something that I thought would be a wonderful relationship for the rest of our lives. I want to know more about this place. I want to know everything I can learn before I get there. And I like to think about this place, because everything else is past. Some of you have lost your mother, your father. Some of you are on the verge of losing. And everything passes. But Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You need to set your affection on what's in the future. You need to set your heart on things that are coming that will never end. We aren't called unto this terrible mountain of the law. We're called to grace in Jesus Christ. And we're called to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the New Testament, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Christ has been sprinkled. It's been shed. It was pictured in the old covenant, the Old Testament. Now it's done. Now we don't have to have a symbol of his blood. We actually know the true blood was shed. And that's why it's better blood than that offered by Abel, of an animal sacrifice which just pictured the coming Christ, and then Cain slew him. But I thank God I understand what I'm talking to you about. Maybe I'm fantasizing too much. Maybe I'm talking about the good old days too much. But I tell you, I thank God I understand what I'm talking about, because life wouldn't be worth living if I didn't have this to look forward to. And I didn't believe all this just because I was afraid of death. I believed it because the Bible clearly teaches it. And that's what's so wonderful about it. These are the groups that are going to be in heaven. and I'm looking forward to seeing him. First man I ever worked for was named Vic Williams. I was 14 years old. Vic ran a short order place in a livestock barn where they auctioned. Office looking old thing you ever saw. And they'd auction up livestock down there. And he told Pop Mike, "Can that boy of yours want to work?" Pop Mike said, "Well, sure he does." He said, "Can you cook hamburgers? Can you cook weenies?" I said, "Well, I've seen grandmother do it. I think I can." He said, "Can you make change?" I said, "Yeah, I can make change." He said, "Can you pour soda pop and drink?" "Yeah." So I started working for him down at the livestock barn. And every summer I'd work for him. I became a pretty good short order cook. Then he started traveling around going to White River Water Carnivals, and he'd open up a stand there. Remember him quite well. He was very real to me. I'm looking forward to meeting these angels, because they won't be memories to me. Forever and ever I'll be with them. To be in the same place as Gabriel, Michael, and the angels who chose to follow God. General Assembly. Who is this General Assembly? The Greek word that is used here, I believe, is paragousia. And it refers specifically, I believe, to the assembly of Israel when God called them out and they all came to the tabernacle and worshiped at the call of Moses when God spoke through him. I think that's basically who it's talking about. But I think it encompasses more than that. I think it's all the Old Testament faithful. I use the word faithful. Not just the Old Testament saved, but those who were faithful. Now, this is in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. If you want to know the names of some of them, they're called the elders. And they will be in assembly in heaven. And in chapter 11, the elders are listed. In 11, 1 and 2, we're told, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." So this general assembly in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, these are the elders that are listed. Abel, whom Cain slew, Enoch, who was directly translated, Noah, who was the just man and spared from the flood, Abraham, whom God called out of Ur of the Chaldees and who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, David, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and the prophets. I think that makes up the General Assembly. Do you know who these people were? They were the Old Testament faithful. Is this all of them? I doubt it. But I think God meant for us to know that in every general period of time, there have been those who assembled to worship him in spirit and in truth that was revealed up to that time. I think all these are going to live in the city because I think they were faithful. And I think that is the General Assembly. What about the Church of the Firstborn? That's New Testament church members that were faithful. That's not just people that made a profession of faith. Are the people that made a profession of faith going to heaven? Absolutely. But what about heaven? In heaven, there is a kingdom. And in heaven, there is a dominion. I'm going to heaven. I want to live in the kingdom city, because that's going to be the best place to live. That's where you're going to experience the greatest joy, the greatest happiness and satisfaction. The spirits of just men made perfect, complete. The word complete means that they were made complete so that they could stand before God by the blood of Christ. And just men mean justified men. And the only way a man can be justified It's by believing the Messiah would come from Genesis 3:15, believing he was here during the time of the apostles, or believing he was here, has gone, and is coming again. Whenever you put your faith in that Jesus, here's who you're putting your faith in. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. These are all the saved people of all the ages. How faithful were they? Not faithful enough, I believe, to be characterized as being part of the General Assembly of the Old Testament. This is the General Assembly of the Old Testament. But the Church of the Firstborn is a local visible assembly of firstborn who have chosen to seek the kingdom of God, to live in that city, and they are members of New Testament churches, and they are faithful. That's why I try to be faithful in God's church. That's why I give to God's church. That's why I serve in God's church. Spirits of just men made perfect. Those are all the saved of all the ages. Now in Romans 3:26, he talks about people that are justified by the belief in Jesus. Many people get saved and they never submit to baptism. They never become members of God's church. But salvation is by grace. And these are indeed children of God. And they indeed are going to heaven. And they were made complete by the blood of Jesus. But they're not going to live in the city, because they did not seek the kingdom of God in heaven and were perfectly satisfied to go to heaven without any thought, without any setting their affection on things above. And the things of this world dominated their lives. Revelation 21:24. That's who these people are. The spirits of just men made perfect, the saved of all the ages. I've preached several messages here about Genesis 3:15, a whole slew of them. And I repeatedly pointed out that when they discovered Adam and Eve, discovered that Cain had slew Abel, and that Cain couldn't be the promised seed, they thought Seth was the promised seed, and they put their faith in God's word and believed that Seth was the Messiah. But when Seth had a son, there were two seeds. And it says, and from that point, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. Salvation has always been by belief that God would send a Redeemer. It's been that way in all the ages, ever since Adam fell. But heaven is a big place. It has dominion, and it has a city. Now, the kingdom city is going to lighten the whole new earth. And it's not going to be a dark place outside the walls, and nobody's going to be unhappy. They're not going to run around in rags. They're going to be gloriously happy, but not nearly as happy as those who sought the kingdom of God in his local New Testament church. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, the kingdom city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. But here's where I want to live. I think about it a lot. It's a big place, 3/5 the size of the United States. To be able every day to live in the same kingdom city where Jesus is. To live in the same kingdom city where Michael and Mark, Michael and Gabriel are. To live in the same kingdom city where Enoch and Noah and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and Abel live. I'm looking forward to that. But to be perfectly honest, I'm looking forward to knowing those people of this age in which I live that were faithful in God's church. This is a local visible assembly. I'm looking forward to living there with you. Blessed are they that do his commandments. That won't save anybody. But if you make an effort to do his commandments, you need to know what they are. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. You'll try to keep that commandment and be faithful in God's local New Testament church and learn to love the people that are in it and not lose your temper and get mad. You need to learn to control your carnal nature. You need to learn to be forgiving and kind and merciful and may enter in through the gates into the city. That's where I want to live. To put it in a pictorial illustration, winning the race of life after salvation. This is the prize, the final heavenly city, Mount Zion. Inside here will be the angels of God, will be the Old Testament faithful and the New Testament faithful. And the New Testament faithful will be those that were faithful in his local church. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. If you want to live in that city, then you're going to have to run in the right track lane, and you're going to have to run where God indicated in his church. You can't do it your way. You've got to do it God's way. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the prize, to live in that kingdom city. If you finish the race of life in one of the Lord's churches, still fighting, still running, and still keeping the faith, here is where you will live in the ages to come. There'll be a complex in the central part of Jerusalem. It will be known in that age as Mount Zion. A new heaven and a new earth will be created after God burns this old one, and we'll be transferred directly into a new kingdom, a new heaven, a new earth. This is where you'll live in the millennial reign and in the heaven age if you'll be faithful to God and his church. How long do you have to be faithful? To the end of life. If you are not found serving in one of the Lord's churches, you will live outside this temple complex, and you will live outside the new city. In the millennial reign, you'll live out here on the new earth. Don't worry. You'll be happy. You'll have a glorified body. But you could be a whole lot happier living inside this complex, and you could be a whole lot happier living here. And this is eternal. It goes on forever and ever. If you are not found serving in one of the Lord's churches, you will live outside the temple complex and outside the new city. Heaven's a big place. All the saved are going to heaven. But there's a judgment seat of Christ for you and I to live in this kingdom complex in the millennial age. We're going to have to be faithful to God and his church. If we aren't, we won't live there. It's that simple. His dominion will be all the earth outside that kingdom. And all the saved will be there. If we want to live in this final heaven, age, kingdom city, we're going to have to be faithful in this church. If we aren't, we're going to live out here. Now, I've made this as plain as I possibly could. How well you fight, run, and keep the faith in one of his churches determines where you live in the city. How well you serve him outside his church determines where you live on the new earth. There'll be some people that live close to the city, but not in it. There'll be some people here that live close to the city, but not in it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I don't know why. Well, I guess maybe I do know why. But down through the centuries, preachers have come to be looked upon as people who preach the call of God. And indeed I am. But they have this inward idea that we're just trying to get people to join the church because it would be good for us and for the church. I bow before God and I stand before man. And I tell you the reason that I'm showing you this is because I want you to live in that city, and I want you to live in the kingdom city of Mount Zion. And that's God's incentive that he's given you to do that. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Brother